the air. Blake, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you.
Okay, great. All right, so like we just talked about, you know, this is going to be a more serious talk. I mean, not that I want to, like, dive into it with you necessarily. Like, it's just a talk, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're listening, the title of this is Take Care of Yourself. And this isn't, like, I'm not having, like, a breakdown or anything like that. I just had some good conversations with some, you know, quality people about taking care of yourself, mainly men's health, and then to segue off of that, mental health, and then I'd like to kind of go into relationships. And obviously this is all, we didn't plan this or whatever. I just kind of texted you today saying, yeah, hey, you know, this is an important topic to me. Let's just talk about it, you know?
Yeah, man, absolutely.
So like, kind of give me your spill of what you do either daily or, you know, throughout the entire week at whatever point you hit it that you kind of feel is pinnacle for you and your health. It doesn't even necessarily have to be mental health, but what do you do to just, what's your health choices that you make throughout the week?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'll tell you this. So I go to college, and there have been semesters where, you know, I don't really care about what I'm eating. I don't really care about what I'm doing in the gym. I don't really care about, you know, what I put in my body on the weekends as far as, like, alcohol. And there's times when – and then there's semesters whenever I'm on top of my stuff and I'm really getting, you know, getting through school study-wise – really well, but I neglect relationships or I neglect, you know, the balance of life. And so it's actually funny that you bring this up and that you wanted to talk about it, because this last semester, this spring semester, I had the best grades I've ever had at college. And they've, yeah, thanks. And they've all been upper level classes in communication studies, which is my major. And I was surprised, and I, like, end of the semester, got to, like, the last week, finals week, and I didn't even have all my grades back, but I was thinking, I was like, man, I did really well this semester. I was like, what did I do differently? Like, I have no idea really what I did differently. So I took a step back, kind of got some perspective on it, and I'll tell you, man, I just tried to have balance in my life the best way that I knew how. And so in the past, there have been semesters where, I'll start with the gym. So going to the gym, obviously, you know, if you're not a person that works out a lot, I understand that, but I think that there's something to be said about, you know, going to the gym, doing something, just moving, getting up, getting around, you know, because, like, I feel like our generation's kind of the last generation that really knows what it's like to go outside and play when you're a kid, you know, and really soak that all in. You know, even though we love video games and stuff, I think we both have benefited from being, you know, living in Colorado and kind of being outdoorsy whenever it comes to stuff and playing sports. But as far as, like, going to the gym, especially whenever you're trying to have balance in your life, like, whatever you do, if it's just, like, cardio up on the treadmill, or if you're going on a run somewhere, or, you know, if you want to lift weights, I think just anything you can do just to get moving, I think that helps. Because there have been semesters where I've skipped going to the gym for my grades, you know, like, not super hard classes, but I'm like, man, I gotta buckle down and get these classes done before I can even think about going to the gym. Yeah. And I, you know, I sacrifice gym time for school, and that's all good and well, but I'm telling you, man, this last semester I was in the gym 5 days a week, every day, you know, every week pretty much. And that's not to toot my own horn, but I got the best grades that I've gotten in a long time.
Exactly what the title is, like, you're just taking care of yourself.
Yeah. And it wasn't hard for me to get good grades. And I don't know what, you know, like I said, not a boastful thing, but it was interesting because there was, like, a correlation now between, you know, taking care of myself, going to the gym, you know, getting that pump in, getting that cardio in, whatever it is, then kind of taking that meditation break from school and then getting back on the grind to school. I'm telling you, dude, that has helped me so much. And, like, learning that lesson, I think for some reason to me was super important, just because I didn't really understand the balance, you know, until, like, this last semester. And I mean, I only have one more semester left at college, so, you know, it's important to learn that lesson in college. And I think as far as like diet and stuff like that too, I mean, I didn't watch my diet, you know, super heavy, super hard or whatever, but I really got to this point of, I needed to stop not caring, you know?
Yeah.
And so I quit drinking soda and all that stuff. And my mind, dude, I'm telling you, my mind is so much clearer for just not putting all the crap in my body that I used to. And like drinking, I will tell you, man, I drink every once in a while, and definitely on the weekends with the boys. I mean, that's just going to be how it is for me, you know? And I love that part. Yeah. Of building relationships with people. I really do. And I think that that's something you can do is have a drink. Sure. With somebody. I mean, I don't think that you should be all in on drinking or all out on drinking. I think it's something you can have some balance with when you're,
yeah,
of
you
age,
just gotta
of
moderate
course.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta be, I'm not saying like, you know, walk the line, but I'm just saying, I mean, just kind of know where you're at. And if you're going to have a night and, you know, maybe don't do that 3 or 4 or 5 times a week. Instead, you know, maybe do it once a week and limit, you know, some of the stuff that you're drinking and whatnot, and just pay attention to it and drink a lot of water. Can't tell you, dude, water, if you drink a lot of water, like an unreasonable amount of water in a day, yeah, it'll change your life. I mean, like, you got to get up and pee every 5 minutes, it feels like, but I'm telling you, dude, like that has made the most difference in my last like 6 months of life on earth right now.
It's the simple stuff, like, yeah, for sure.
And I think so as far as like, you know, just what I do to take care of myself, I think that's...
Apologies for the technical difficulties. We are working on fixing the issue.
1 eternity later.
Apologies for the cutout in the podcast. Not really sure what happened with the audio.
Little technical
anyways,
difficulties. It's all good.
The podcast is probably going to be a little chopped up. I'm going to have to edit it for our other platforms. So if you're listening on anything other than Zcast, this is the edited version. So yeah, back to taking care of yourself and just kind of making healthy choices. I believe you were talking about something. It's the simple things like just drinking an unreasonable amount of water, you know, like, yeah, makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it really does.
I've definitely got a question for you. So was there ever a time where you kind of just like met a crossroads where you were like, I'm not in a good spot, like my health is just kind of like in the dumpster and like I need to make a change?
Oh, 100%. I think everybody's going to have those moments. My moment came, I guess, pretty recently. I don't know. I just saw myself in the mirror and I looked at myself and I was like, I just look average. I just look super average. And that, you know, for me, I'm a very, very go-getter. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm going to try to stand out above the rest just because that's the way I was built. I'm not a perfectionist by any means. I think that it was a thing for me whenever I just saw myself, like, I used to be an athlete in high school and I used to have certain things that I did then and, you know, that I could do, you know, physically. I was like, man, like, in pretty good shape. And I don't know, I got tired of being average. And so I decided that day I was like, I'm not drinking soda. I'm just going to have a lot of water, maybe some lemonade here and there. I'm going to cut down my drinking like way back. You know, I'm going to make sure that I have balance in my life. I'm not going to neglect my relationships for things. You know, I mean, while school's important, well, I mean, I'm not going to remember the grade that I got in, you know, intro to film and TV aesthetics, you know, 10 years from now.
Underwater basket weaving.
Yeah, I'm not going to care. It's not going to matter. You know, those things, while they're good experiences to have and you should take them seriously when you're in the classroom or whatever, but like, there's no reason to, you know, get so pent up about those things. And I think that that's one thing that our society, truthfully, I mean, if I could get a little bit preachy here, I don't think that our society understands balance in the way of teaching kids, teaching people, just human beings in general, how to be okay with, you know, not trying to achieve the next level of success in a very, very quick manner. You know, like, you know, I have friends like that work so hard to get A's in college, and they work so hard to make sure that they can, you know, go out on the weekends and da da da, and like, that's great, like, you know, you live your life. But whenever other aspects of your life that should be very important to you are suffering because, you know, you're not having any social life because you're only focusing on grades, or, you know, you only go to work and then you come home and then you do homework and you go to bed, like, no social life, or if the social scene's you know, hindering your grades or your gym life or your, you know, whatever. Like,
yeah, it's just so it's a two-way street.
And you can't stretch yourself too thin, you know, so you can't do everything. But having that balance, you know, having that balance between relationships, between, you know, being active, being healthy, being studious, being social, I think that it's important, because I feel like too many people today, in today's world, really just go all out for, you know, a few different things, which is great, but, like, you can't keep that kind of lifestyle up sometimes.
Fair. If you're listening right now, I have my dog in my room, so if you hear a bunch of and noises, that's that's him. Cool, man.
What about you, man? What about you? What do you think? I mean, what do you do to keep yourself mentally healthy, or at least what do you try to do to keep yourself in a routine that is something that you can always have, that you can always go back to? What are some things you do?
Sure. So I recently decided to stop coaching, and that wasn't like the reason was just because I'm at a point in my life where,
for the people listening, what did you coach?
I coached folk style, freestyle, and a little bit of Roman Greco wrestling, and nothing crazy. Like, it was just a high school varsity team and JV, but I did that for 6 years, and then I did a youth program for four and a half years. But anyways, going through college, it's just really time consuming, and I just couldn't really do it anymore. I kind of fell out from being in love with the sport. I still love the sport, but I don't love coaching it right now, sure, just because of how draining it is. How much time it takes to put into it to do a good job. Like, I'm not a half in person. Like, if I'm going to do something, I have to be able to do it 100% and be fully committed to it. Otherwise, I'm just not going to do it. Yeah, I'm just not going to do a good job. And that's just how it is.
I share that with you.
So anyways, I had the sit down talk with, you know, one of my biggest mentors, who was the head coach, but he was also a teacher of mine, and honestly, I look at him like a second dad. I was just like, I'm not going to be able to coach next season, yada, yada, yada. He's, you know, supportive of my decision and the reasons for that decision. But anyway, so that used to be something that I would do that I would consider to be, you know, like a health choice for me. I would get in there with the guys, roll around on the mat, get a good workout in, get my sweat going, whatever, you know, like the physical activity of it. But there's also the whole relationship aspect, right? You know, I'm working with the coaches, working with the kids, and it's a chance for me to be able to mentor to them maybe some stuff that I'm going through in my life, maybe some things that I've already gone through that they're going to eventually hit. So that was another health aspect to it, was, you know, I get to feed into some other people's lives from my point of view. So that's more along the lines of, like, you know, just good choices when you're out with the guys, or, you know, like some of the, you know, it's high schoolers that we're talking about, so they make terrible decisions all the time. Me and you did the same.
As we all have, yeah.
Still do, probably, you know. But you can kind of give your two cents to say, hey, you'd probably save yourself a world of hurt if you didn't go this route, because I did, and this was the result from doing that. And so, you know, and mentally, you know, it was a really good time, you know, bonding with those guys. Getting in the room and, you know, banging out a workout and being able to, you know, form a relationship while we're doing that. So that was one thing that I would do for myself that I would consider to be a health choice, is coaching. And I'm going to get back into it eventually, but right now I just can't, just because
it's just too much. You can't spread yourself too thin, man. I'm telling you, that's kind of the whole thing I was saying too. There'll come a moment where you're going to be like, oh, yikes, like, this is not, like, I don't know where to be. I don't know who, you know, who I am, really. I don't know what I'm doing. And I, sometimes you just gotta cut. You gotta cut something out of your life, either temporarily or permanently, and that can make the world a difference.
Yeah, and I've got another idea on that, but I'll get into that later.
Sure. Yeah.
Another reason that I gave up coaching was relationship choices with my girlfriend. Right. So every season that I would end up coaching, I mean, wrestling is a year long sport, but I would really get into it during the winter time when folk style wrestling came around. And basically it was an eye opener to me when my girlfriend came up to me and said, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to have my boyfriend for the next, you know, however long the wrestling season was. And so like, that was an eye opener to me because I really thought about it. I wasn't harsh towards her about it. I just kind of took what she said and just kind of thought about it. And sure. It's true. I really don't invest myself in her enough when I'm coaching, like, at all. It's like a complete disconnect. Mm-hmm. And so that was another reason that I stopped. But right now, I mean, you know, like, I'm doing the biking a lot. I bike a lot. I did almost a 13-mile bike the other day, which was good. And doing that, I'm working out. So I'm doing all the same deals. But getting back into my relationship with my girlfriend, she's completely flipped my view on my health. And I'm still, like, learning, because there's an endless amount of stuff to learn about a person's health, especially taking care of yourself. So what she's wanting to do with her life, right now she's doing integrative healthcare for her major. And then after that, she's going to go to graduate school and get her ND. ND, like as in Nate, okay, and dog, ND, not to be confused with an MD, is a naturopathic doctor compared to, like I said, an MD is a medical doctor.
Yeah.
So a naturopathic doctor is kind of like, and again, I'm terrible at explaining this. Like, it's like a language, right? So, like, you can understand language a lot easier than you can speak it. That's exactly what it is with her schooling. Like, I understand what she's doing, but if I try to interpret that to someone else, it's not going to come across accurately.
Yeah.
But I'll do my best. So a naturopathic doctor is basically like a holistic version of healthcare, and it's, you're trying to do preventative healthcare and as little intervening in a person's health as possible, meaning like physically. So like, there's tiers to it, right? Preventative healthcare, like just taking care of yourself, working out, you know, eating the right stuff, drinking water, blah blah blah. And then the next step is like, okay, you got sick, okay, like how much do we have to intervene, you know? Or you broke your arm, you need to get surgery, right? That's more of like a medical doctor's field, not a naturopathic doctor.
I know what you're saying. It's more like, you know, not to butt in necessarily, but it's kind of more like, what do we have over here? Western medicine?
Yeah,
it'd be a little bit more like Eastern medicine, right? It'd be a little bit more like, you know, you're going to use natural things to try to maybe not cure, but make better, or to cure, I guess. Because I've heard of this definition of medicine before. And it's one of those things, like, it's, you know, there's a lot of, like, have you ever heard of grounding? Like, you know, walking barefoot on the ground, like stuff like that. Like, you know.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because when I first started dating her and she was like talking to me about exactly that, like,
you didn't grounding, believe it, did you?
I was like, what are you talking about? Like, there's nothing about that. That's like it's just hocus pocus, like witchcraft. Like, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. And then she like explained it to me and like showed me studies on it, because this is what she wants to do with her life.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to respect that. And like, I'm going to try to understand it. And she like told me everything basically there was to know about grounding. And, I could try to explain what grounding is, but it would probably bore you and anybody
that decides to listen to this. Isn't it just like walking barefoot on the grass or something like that? I mean, if you really had to boil it down.
And there is a real like...
Oh, no. Yeah.
It's...
I'm not trying to demean it. I'm just saying like...
No. It has to do with... Yeah, it has to do with the... I want to say it has to do something with the electrons in your body.
And there's like a frequency the Earth has.
Yeah. Which I mean, come on, we have gravity. Like, it makes sense, you know.
Sure, yeah.
It's a force. It's whatever, you know.
Yep.
So, anyways, she explained it to me. I was like, okay, like, I'll try to understand it. I'll try to buy into it. I'll try to like invest some time in doing my own research into it. And like, just from the little things that she's told me, like grounding or, you know, eating or anything just simple, has made a huge change, like a huge change in my health. And so anyways, she feeds into my health a ton. And so that's another health, I guess, a health aspect of my life is a relationship that kind of guides me down, you know, what's a better path of taking care of myself, right? And she like totally is that avenue for me.
I mean, I think, you know, in a real way too. I mean, I have a girlfriend also. We've both been with our girlfriends for 4 years, me for 3. And I think there comes a point where, you know, whether the girlfriend is telling you to do these things or not, I mean, you just want to be more conscious of those choices that you make, because you want to be with that person as long as you can, you know? So if you got to cut back on certain things, like, you know, maybe some alcohol and maybe dip, maybe that's a thing that people deal with, you know, because I definitely struggle with it. Stuff like that, maybe smoking, whatever.
Sure.
You know, if that person is the one that, I don't know, I don't want to say makes you quit, because I don't think that quitting is something that everybody should do, I guess, because, I mean, everybody's got a different walk of life, but it can definitely make you rethink some things that are going on in your life. And I think girlfriends are good for that, for sure. In a very in a real nice way. I don't think it has to be in a demanding or commanding way, but I don't know if you share that, but I do.
Let's kind of segue that into, because we are talking about relationships. Let's just kind of talk about relationships right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know, I've either known a lot of people that have had toxic relationships that geez man, I can't talk. I need some like water or something. I know a number of people that have had toxic relationships that have just really diminished their outlook on life, right? Or, you know, feeds into their energy level as far as depression or anxiety, stress, whatever it might be. You know, that could be a family member, that could be a girlfriend, that could be just one of the buds, you know, one of the boys, just really eating away at your positivity, right? And like, I'm totally about good vibes, and I try to preach that as much as I can and like give off good vibes as much as I possibly can. But basically what I want to get at is another part of taking care of yourself is centering yourself around, you know, like like-minded good people. And I'm not saying like you're trying to find the perfect person to spend your time with. Everybody has their downfalls. Like for me, let's take driving. I absolutely hate driving.
Really? I did not know that about you.
I'm an angry driver. I'll be totally honest. Like if someone, and it's not like every day, it's just like, I'm really easily
aggravated.
You can piss me off really easily when I'm behind the wheel. And that's a serious issue of mine, right?
Is that like it is in normal everyday life or just driving? Or are there certain things?
Every single day, someone pisses me off when I'm driving. And it could just be like it literally could be the smallest thing. Like,
yeah.
And like, I'm so in the wrong. Like, it could be some old dude that is just taking a long time pulling in or pulling out of a parking spot. And I'm just like going off in my car. I'm not flipping him off or anything. Like, I'm not making a scene. I'm just, I stress myself out and I get angry.
Interesting. Okay.
And so, like, I don't want to make myself out to sound like a shithole of a person.
No, I got you.
Excuse my language, but, like, I'm just, like, when I cuss, like, it's not that, you know, that's just me. And I actually have this old thing that I don't know where I read it, but people that cuss are going to be more honest. So when I'm cussing, I'm just being totally honest. Like, that's my unfiltered version. So anyways, doesn't matter.
Too,
yeah, it doesn't matter, but anyways. driving, dude.
Drop like, an F-bomb in the middle of the podcast. Wow.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Driving, man, is just a toxic part of my day. And, like, I try to work on it. And my girlfriend has constantly pointed out to me, like, Grant, like, you need it got to the point where she called me out and said, Grant, you need to work on this. Like, you need to make a conscious decision to cool it when you're behind the wheel, because you just kind of, it's not healthy for you. You're making your body toxic, and you're representing yourself negatively, and you could potentially, you know, put someone else in a bad spot.
That's true.
So anyways, driving is my downfall. As far as relationships go, I mean, everybody, I'm sure, has a family issue. But it's just like, to what degree is that issue? So I know, like, some extended family. I'm not going to say for who, but I'm just going to say extended family really wears on this person that I know. And every time that they come into town, their health, like, takes a complete dive, like, literally. And it's not like they're being emotional or dramatic about it. Like, they literally get sick.
No, like, I get it, yeah.
They get ill, like, where they literally, like, are not bedridden, but they feel sick, you know?
And, like, yeah, I know, and I think that that transfers over into different kinds of relationships, especially, you know, families. I think I know one person who turns into a completely different human being whenever I'm around them, if they're with their family, versus when they're just with me or with the boys or whatever. Like, the minute, like, their family comes in, I mean, it's a complete 180, complete shift. Doesn't matter which family member it is, like, just completely different human being. And it's like, I get it, you know, you're different around your friends than you are with your girlfriend, than you are with your family, than you are with your dog. Like, I get it, but, like, I'm talking, like, 180, gone, like, separate person. Like, I don't even know that person. And it's interesting to see, you know, how other people can make you act. I totally think that, you know, that's a first of all, it's a real thing, you know. Yeah. That people just have those people in their lives that are just toxic. Second, and I don't want to shift it, you know, too much, but I want to say this. When you're in it, I don't think you realize it, you know, to its full extent until you're out of it. And then whenever you're out of it, you look back and you're
being toxic, or
if you're in a toxic relationship, like, you might not be the toxic one. Like, let's say I'm in a relationship, you know, with a girl in high school, and, you know, I don't see the signs, or I don't see what's going on. And then I get out of that relationship one way or the other. And then, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, I'm like,
yeah, you look
whoa,
back.
Like, that was not, like, okay. And, like, first of all, I think that's going to help you, you know, later down the road. You're going to be like, all right, I know what to look for a little bit. And, you know, the life is just learning. That's all it is. You go through every single day.
Sure.
Yeah. And you just make mistakes all the time. And that's how life is. And then you learn, and then you move on, and then you go to the next day, same thing. But, you know, I think that that's one thing that I've really, that's a theme in my life, is, like, you don't really realize how a relationship or how people are until you're out of it, you know, if it's a bad relationship. And I think that that's an interesting concept to think about, but I definitely think it's real.
I'd like to kind of speak into that too. Centering yourself around, you know, a good group of people, that are somewhat connected to a possible toxic relationship. Let's say, by the way, my relationship with my current girlfriend is fantastic, okay? But let's say a past relationship, okay? I'm in a relationship with this girl, and it's a toxic relationship, and I have good people that I've centered myself around that are connected to me and therefore connected to that toxic relationship, and they point out to me, like, yo, bro, this is what I see. You need to consider what I'm saying, and I'm just letting you know, like, what's going on would not be okay with me. I don't know how it's okay with you, and I'm not sure if you're seeing it. Like, I want to.
So you're talking about your friends kind of telling you, giving you the signs, being like, "Hey, bro, like, just want to let you know this is going on. Like, you might not see it," kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I agree with you. A lot of times, you're not going to be able to really process what is either going on or has gone on until you're out of the relationship. Or, my belief is that I agree with you, but also I agree that you could be in that relationship, and then the people that you've centered yourself around can point out to you that one of your relationships is potentially toxic.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Hindering your health in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. No, you're right there. I mean, I was thinking post-relationship type talk, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right. For sure.
I think too, like, you know, understanding that there's a lot of different ways to analyze relationships. You know, obviously there's going to be different ways to analyze everything, but I think, like, overall, like, if you're in a toxic relationship, like, it's going to carry over into every other relationship that you have, you know? And I'm not saying you have to cut people off, you know, out of your life, but I think that there are some people that just don't need to be in your story, you know? Like, they don't need to be in your life in that moment. But later, you know, they're going to be the example that you tell your kids, like, hey, like, you know, this is what happened to me whenever I was in high school. And I think it's pretty close to what you're going through, and I'm just going to tell you what I learned so that you can, you know, make 100%. Your own decision, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that everybody goes through stuff, you know, in different ways, but I think the most important thing to know is that everything you go through, everything that happens, everything that, you know, relationally, at least whenever we're talking about it in this, you know, arena, I really think that it's going to make your future relationships better if you learn from it, worse if you don't. And truthfully, man, like, learning from stuff is the way you go through life, and I think that that's the most important thing whenever it comes to relationships. It's just whether you're learning about your partner, you know, every day, something new, something refreshing, something maybe that you're reminded of, like, you know, just constantly learning about each other if you're in a healthy relationship. And if you're in a toxic relationship, learning from that, like, understanding it's okay that you went through that or that you are going through that, but, like, just taking active steps to not get entrenched in it, because if the minute you get entrenched, man, it's hard to get out of. And especially if it's, you know, and I think last night, you know, we were playing video games last night talking, and I, you know, Grant, I said something that I feel like kind of resonated with you, because I feel like we're kind of cut from the same cloth in a way.
Sure.
But, you know, forgiveness and second chances, like, are not the same thing.
Oh yeah. Forgiveness and reconciliation. Exactly. Yeah. That's verbatim what you said. Yeah.
Yep, and I think a lot of people don't realize that. I think a lot of people don't forgive people because they think that they're hand-in-hand items, you know? Like, you go to the shopping, you put it in your shopping cart, and that's a two-for-one. Like, that's not how it works, you know? It's the whole thing is that you can forgive somebody for sure. Like, you can forgive them for all the things that they've done, or, you know, you can forgive them for making a mistake. But, like, if they're not supposed to be in your life and you know that, like, you don't have to reconcile with them. Like, you know, I think that's an extreme case a lot of times, because I feel like most relationships can be repaired, but there's certainly some, you know, that just it's going to be unhealthy for you if you go back into that.
Yeah, so forgiving, you need to step away for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Forgiving and forgetting, first of all, not a good thing to say, not a good thing in general. Because if you forget about it, why did you even go through it? Because you're learning from things, right? That's what we just talked about.
Yeah.
But then, you know, forgiveness and second chances, they don't go hand in hand. I mean, if you want to give somebody a second chance, by all means, go ahead. But, you know, you don't have to reconcile with somebody to forgive them.
No. And, you know, I've had, you know, plenty of experience with that. And, you know, you don't owe that other person anything, you know? Like, it's like the fool me once, fool me twice kind of deal. You don't have to go through it a second time. Like, that's your own choice. Yeah, I think we're having a good talk. I'm trying to think. There's a lot I want to talk about, and yeah, I don't know if we're going to get through it all in one podcast. also, I do want to say, if you're listening to this and you found us through the video gaming profile on Instagram,
you caught us at a time that we're just getting a little deep, and that's all right.
Yeah, and I want you guys to appreciate that. Like, we're not just like dudes that get on the game. Yeah, like, exactly. Like, we're not just these guys that sit behind a screen. Like, we have lives, as surprising as that may seem. And I just want to offer, you know, like, you guys have the account. Feel free to shoot us a message and just be like, yo, guys, I'm going through whatever. I mean, I'm by no means like a psychiatrist or whatever, but if you just need someone friendly to talk to, yeah, if you just need someone friendly to talk to, shoot us a message. Like, honestly, if that's gonna feel, if you feel like that would benefit you, just do it. Like, we're not gonna, you know, push that away. But be serious about it. Like, I don't want anybody coming in here and, like, trolling us and being like, dude, like, I don't know what the situation would be. Don't be a troll, because you're going to get blocked. I'm just throwing that out there right now.
Boom roasted.
If you have a serious issue that you want to talk about, then seriously, just DM
Absolutely,
us, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And anyone that has found this without finding us through the profile, it's at FoolSendVG. If you can see the account on here, it's the same thing. Just put the at sign before.
I was going to have a hot take, but my hot take...
Oh, dude, perfect. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying hot take. All right, we're back. The train was derailed, and we're back on track.
All right, hot take. Usually it's sports. So far, past two episodes, it's been sports. I'm going to move to video games. I know we had a super, super serious topic, but I do want to lighten it up just a little bit here at the end, maybe. Hot take, The Division 2 will be 2019's one of the biggest games of 2019. I watched a thing on it today. I'm real high on it, dude. It looked so good. DLC's free. They're taking notes from Fortnite.
I think Battlefront 2 is free DLCs, too. Yeah.
It was funny. I was on Twitter today, and T. Martin, at T. Martin, if you're going to go follow him. He's bigger than I will ever be on the internet, so he doesn't really need a shout out, but he posted what did he say? He said something about Fortnite, like, I love Fortnite not only because it's a great game, but even more so because it's forcing every other game and developer to step it up,
right?
And so in my mind I'm like, let's go, someone finally caught on to the concept that I've been saying forever.
Yeah.
And so I tweeted back at him. He didn't respond or anything. That's okay. I tweeted back at him, though. I was like, he's the Peyton Manning of video games. Because if you think about it, this is my hot take, pretty much. If you think about it, Peyton Manning, towards the end of his career, might not have been the best quarterback, right? I mean, he really wasn't the best quarterback on the field. Like, in Super Bowl 50, the defense won the championship. But here's what I'll tell you. Without him on the field, the other guys don't play near as hard or near as well. Like, everybody stepped it up for him. So I put that tweet out with a gif of Peyton Manning giving finger guns and a thumbs up. But anyways, it's made me happy that somebody said that out loud, because it makes so much sense. I mean, it really does.
Yeah, and I think everybody's in the same exact – I mean, not everybody, but a lot of people are in the same exact boat, that Fortnite has completely forced just about every other, you know, game to – again, to step up their game.
You know,
we have so many.
You remember the Division 1, right? I mean, the Division 1, you had to buy the DLC, and now, I mean, they're like, well, all right, everybody, you know, Fortnite's given DLC free, so we got to compete with that. Let's go ahead and do Division 2 Fortnite, or Division 2 DLC. We'll make that free. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have harsh feelings against what? What were you saying?
Sorry, I was taking my dog's collar off. He keeps. It must be itching. I don't know. Anyways, harsh. Oh, yeah. At first, I was like, dude, like, I don't appreciate how everybody's... I use the word bandwagon. Bandwagoning Fortnite. Like, everybody's offering a battle royale.
Oh, yeah.
And I still don't know how it necessarily, like, it's just... I mean, not that it even matters. Like, it's a video game. Like, who the hell cares? But... like, let's take Call of Duty, for instance, and I know we've talked about it in the past, and I don't want to, you know, beat the dead horse, but, you know, when I get on to play a Call of Duty, I'm playing for that, like, that campaign, that multiplayer that's unique to the Call of Duty series.
To what the game is.
I'm not paying $60 for another Battle Royale. Like, I don't want to pay $60 for another Battle Royale. I want to pay $60 for Call of Duty's amazing campaign and multiplayer that's specific to them. Like, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of games that do team deathmatch, search and destroy, you know, demolition, blah blah blah, but like, do they really have to add a battle royale? I mean, honestly. So
I'm with you.
I think a lot of people are stepping up their game, but they don't have to step up their game by copying, you know.
Yeah, they don't have to do the same thing. I think that it's basically just like the DLC stuff, like taking that lesson. I think that taking the lesson of, you know, you don't just put out a DLC, forget about it for, you know, a few months and then put out another one. Because Fortnite, every week, man, every week they're putting something new. Every week they're grinding every single, pretty much every single day to make it better.
Yeah.
And I think that Call of Duty, and I think that, you know, all those other games that we can think about, Battlefront, you know, Battlefield, whatever, like, I think that they can take that lesson. Like, I get it. I'm not in the video game industry. I don't know anything about it, really, other than I play them and I like them. But, like, I feel like that lesson can be learned from Fortnite. I think that's important. I really do. I think it's cool because it'll be, that means that every game from here on out is going to be better, which is just, I mean, for the general public who plays video games, buys video games, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's a positive thing. Like, you know, I don't want people looking at it as a negative deal. Like, if you're, it's like pushing your buddy in the gym, you know? Like, 100%. You're just like the Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then you have me standing next to him. I mean, he's old now, so, like, let's take, like, who's the Rock? All right, so The Rock is somehow, in my fantasy world, my friend, right? And he's what I'm going to relate to Fortnite. And because I'm lifting with him, I'm going to be better for it because I'm going to push myself even harder.
Yep.
It's the same thing with gaming, you know? So I appreciate that everybody's trying to step up their game. And who said that? T. Martin?
Yeah, T. Martin.
Yeah, T. Martin knows what's up. So everybody, not everybody, again, but a lot of people are in the same boat. They're catching on. I'm definitely excited for the second division. I loved it. It was hard for me because I felt like I had to have friends to get on to play with, and maybe that's just the person that I am. To play that game specifically, I felt like I had to have a group to play with to really excel and advance in the game.
Same with me, yeah.
And so, like, maybe that was a thing, but then again, maybe it's just me being weird. So,
no, I hear you, man.
Anthem looks awesome. I mean, they dropped their official, like, E3 trailer, which I would definitely suggest checking that out if you haven't seen it, Blake, and then the rest of the people that might be listening to this.
Yeah, I haven't seen
Anthem,
it.
I think Anthem has a potential to be better than the first Destiny. And I know not everybody loved Destiny, but
yeah.
I fell in love with the first Destiny, the whole concept of the fire team, open world. They did it right for that type of game, right?
Yeah.
For the role playing, whatever. Like, fantastic game. I love Destiny 1 compared to Destiny 2. I think Destiny 2 is a failed game, and they just kept going in their old... Jeez, man.
Let it out, big fella. Let it out.
I've got allergies today, man. Ugh. And I got my doctor.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, though. You know, Destiny 2. I didn't even consider buying Destiny 2. I'll tell you that right now. I truthfully didn't even think about it. I liked Destiny 1. It was okay. I enjoyed the customization. I enjoyed that I got to pick a team. I enjoyed all that stuff. But I really had trouble, you know, like, enjoying that they were going to just pretty much flip around Destiny 1 and make Destiny 2. Like, I just didn't... It didn't really work out for me. But I really enjoyed... a lot of the aspects of Destiny 1. It was an interesting game, definitely, for sure. I mean, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, and going back to what I said earlier, there's nothing wrong with... There are certain games, and you just need to know, like, what kind of game you're offering, right?
100%.
That where if you repeat what you've already done, it's just like... And I'm talking about grindy games, where you just have to go out and grind for stuff. Yeah. That's boring. Like, offer some new content. You can still grind, but, like, while you're grinding over and over and over again in a new game, like, offer some new content to be going through as you grind. And I feel like it was just literally, like, a copy of Destiny 1 and then just put a different environment. Like, there wasn't anything really special about it for me. And so, anyways... but, like, you could take Mario... for a spin. You know, Mario is one of those games where you could repeat it 90 times over for the next, I don't even know how many years, and all you'd have to do is change the graphics, don't change the game, and it would be, you know, the best. Like, it's a classic game. But anyways, we had what did we talk about? Anthem, we talked about The Division. For all you Master Chief fans out there, you have Halo Infinite coming out. E3 gave out that trailer. I would check that out. Fallout 76. I'm trying to think of what else we got going on.
Right, so he decided to show up without texting me, so that's my fault.
No. It's cool.
I figured we were about done anyways. Like, he told me he's, like, 5 minutes out, and then, like, 2 minutes later he showed up, so.
Yeah, no, that's fine. The gaming stuff we covered. But anyways, before we got into that, I did want to give you, when you said hot take and reminded me, I did have a hot take for what our earlier topic was, but we'll just do it like another time, which is fine, because we're already going for like 45 minutes and it could be another 30 minute podcast. So anyway, hot take, just if you are, anyone who's listening, interested to tune back in a future podcast, was going to be that men, and I'm not being sexist, I would much rather say,
delivering facts here.
I would just much rather say that I understand men's mental health more so than a woman's mental health. I don't want to claim that I understand a woman's mental health. So anyways, the hot take was going to be that men don't take care of themselves as much as they should. They're not as vulnerable as they should make themselves to be, and that men's mental health is kind of a disregarded thing, to be honest.
I think societally, you're absolutely right. I think individually,
it's different. Yeah.
Some discrepancy, but I definitely think you're right.
Yeah, I'm just speaking in generalities, right? I would just say, in general, and it's definitely like a society-based thing, that men do not take care of themselves as much as they should, and they do not take care of their mental health as much as they should, and I don't think there's enough offered to them. Again, not being sexist, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a doctor, I'm just making an opinion / judgment. So anyways, that can be a hot take that we can cover in a future podcast. But again, I know this is more of a serious podcast. I appreciate the lightheartedness of the ending. I appreciate you being willing to talk about, you know, the stuff that I presented.
Oh, dude, you got to take care of yourself. And if we're not willing to talk about it, I mean, what are we doing? You know, we got to talk about stuff. Got to do that. So I'm with
100%.
You.
100%. So anyways, anybody that decided to tune in and you want a friendly face to, well, not, we're not talking in person. You want a nice person to talk to, feel free to go to our Instagram profile and send us a message. If you just want maybe a free joke, I've got plenty of those. So thank you for listening. And thank you, Blake, for talking.
Hey, take care of yourself, guys. All right.